One of the things that I really enjoy is going to a sporting event. Doesn't have to be a big one; it could be a small one, but a sporting event where you are joining a crowd of people. Again, whether it be just a handful or thousands, and you get a chance to sing the national anthem. I love that. And it honestly gives me chills every time when we get to the part, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Think about that. Think about our national anthem, the song of our country. In it, whenever we sing it, we declare that America, the United States, where we dwell, is a home of people that are classified as brave. The place where we live is for brave people. I was thinking about that, and I read about an American that I would call fairly brave. A man, you probably heard of him, by the name of Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson, born in 1919, in Cairo, Georgia. The grandson of a slave had no idea that one day he would be the first black person to play Major League Baseball. He went through some adversity early on in his life. His father died when he was young, and he moved to California. There he was a very prodigious athlete. He got a scholarship to UCLA, and he played football, basketball, baseball, and ran track. And while he was at UCLA, he led the nation in punt returns, and he also won a scoring title for the basketball team. He was an amazing athlete, but you know, there's this idea that he couldn't go any farther because of the color of his skin. Jackie didn't subscribe to that. He kept pushing. He joined. He joined first a black baseball team, and then Branch Rickey, the president for the Brooklyn Dodgers, decided to give him a chance on their feeder team. So he did that, and he encountered hostility, to say the least. When he was going through their games, he faced insults, death threats. There were some teams that just wouldn't even play against the team. They canceled the game completely so they would not have to play against them. Yet he didn't stop. He led the league in batting that year, and he took that team and won a championship with them. And so Branch Rickey, the president of the Dodgers, decided to make the big move and to move him up. But he was warned, this is not going to be a very popular decision. And he decided to keep going with it. Again, he faced insult. He faced discrimination. He faced people telling him, if you do not stop playing, we are going to kill you. We are going to hurt your family. But he never did stop. Played in every game that he could. Never hung up the cleats. He just kept going. And I think about this, and I say, what a brave man. What an American. Thinking about that makes me think about my own bravery. I, who, again, claim the title of American, how brave am I? It's one thing to be an American. We're also a people of God. The God, the creator of everything. He also desires us to be brave. In fact, if you'll turn over me to Joshua chapter 1, he says this very same thing multiple times to Joshua. And Joshua 1 is going to be our passage this morning. And I will go ahead and start reading in verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We are getting very close to entering a new year, year 2024. It's weird. This is the first year that I say that, and it feels like I'm talking about a year in the far distant future. We're in 2024. Maybe we face some things in this past year, in 2023, that whenever we were up against them, we did not feel very strong. Maybe we didn't feel very courageous. Maybe we didn't feel very brave. That does not have to be the case for this year. I want to further look at why, just some instances in which Joshua may have lost courage. Maybe we lose courage in those same instances. And really, I just want to encourage you in this year, be strong, be courageous. In fact, and I don't know if this is going to happen again. This is kind of my experiment for this year. I've kind of picked this as a theme for the year: strength and courage. I'm not going to do a sermon on it every Sunday by any means. I might do one later on in the year, but really this is just for you. Maybe something to study on your own. What gives you strength? What gives you courage? Maybe if you're a teacher in the coming year, maybe that'll give you just kind of a direction in which to go. But that's kind of my theme of the year, is strength, courage. So let's take a little bit a deeper look at this text. Joshua was going to have strength and courage in the face of responsibility. When Joshua is receiving these instructions from the Lord, and he's given this goal or this order by God to go over into the promised land and to cross the Jordan and to attack this people or take over the land from the people, he wasn't doing this on his own. He was wearing a new role. He was wearing a new hat. He is now the leader of the people of Israel, at least on earth, the human leader of the people of Israel. That's a lot of responsibility. I mean, you think about, you know, just being the leader of a nation. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of differing personalities. That leads to a lot of. Could lead to a lot of problems. That's a lot of responsibility. It's hard to think about being in that position, but not only that, not only was he the leader of a nation, he was the leader of God's nation. Moses says to the people in Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 17, "You have today declared the Lord to be your God, and that you would walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his ordinances, and listen to his voice. And the Lord has today declared you to be his people, a treasured possession, as he promised you, and that you should keep all his commandments, and that he will set you high above all nations which he has made for praise, fame, honor, that you shall be a consecrated people to the Lord your God as he has spoken." So Joshua, again, taking on a lot of responsibility, not just as the leader of a people, And more people, not just being responsible for yourself, but for others, it can be so heavy, such a heavy weight. Not only that, but he is the leader of God's people, his treasured possession, a people that is consecrated to him, a people who we hear ordered to be what God is, holy. I mean, think about that. And I know what I would think if I was in Joshua's shoes. I don't know that he thought this, but I know what this Joshua would think is facing that kind of situation. How inadequate would you feel? Who is adequate to be? I mean, I wouldn't feel adequate as the leader of any people, but who's adequate to be the leader of God's people, a leader within God's people? I would feel extremely inadequate, and honestly, that's not a bad thing. You know, the truth of it is, Joshua was inadequate in a sense. We are all inadequate to truly be a leader of God's people because, like God's people before, we are to be holy. They were to be holy. And there's one who is adequate to lead and to instruct in holiness, in righteousness. And that's God. Honestly, you know, Joshua, as a leader, he's a very capable man, but was he inadequate to truly lead God's people? Yes, he was. But God wasn't. God said to Joshua, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Is that because of who Joshua was? No, just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall give this people possession of the land. Why? Because of Joshua's capabilities? No. Which I swore to their fathers to give them. Jumping down to verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you. Was Joshua inadequate in a sense? Yes, but God is not. He is more than adequate. He is more than we could ever dream. And that's good to know for the responsibilities that we bear. Maybe we're going into this new year and maybe we have taken on new responsibilities. Maybe we've taken on things that add a burden and a stress to us. And we think that we can't take that. And maybe you're looking at the story of Joshua and you feel like you really can't connect with that. Like, I'm not going to be a leader of God's people. I'm not taking anybody over the Jordan River. I'm not, you know, going into a new land. I want you to think about this. One, you are a leader in this sense. You are a part, if you have put on Christ, of Christ's body. As Paul says in Romans 12, starting in verse 4, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Sometimes, I was thinking about this, sometimes being a leader isn't just so much being in front of everybody, but it's being willing to be part of the team. You have joined the greatest team there could ever be in the world, the family and the body of Christ, and we rely on one another. We rely on each other. Even if we, you know, sit in the pew and say, nobody relies on me, I'm just somebody who, you know, just comes and sits, and that's all that I am. Stop thinking that way. You mean a lot to us. We depend on you. And we really wish you would stop thinking that way. We need your encouragement. We need your strength. We need to see you. We need to, because that builds us up. My, that gives us strength. We need each other. There's not a part of my body that I say, I just don't need that anymore. Not a part of it that I would just say, no, I don't need that. And we are not like that about one another. We need each other. Also, we are all leaders in the fact that we all have eyes that are on us. Whether that be children, whether that be a spouse, whether that be our neighbor, whether that be our friend, whether that be someone that we work with. We all have eyes that are on us. And just like God wants us to cross the Jordan and go into the promised land, He wants that for all the people. Everybody has the opportunity to be part of God's people. And whether we like it or not, the eyes are on us as those that take on the title of a person of God. People watch us to know what that means. What does that actually entail? Especially our kids. You want to talk about a treasured possession? God has blessed us with a blank slate that He desires to be with Him one day. That's an amazing thing, but it's also an amazing burden. And you think about that. You think about really how much you mean to us, how much we mean to each other. You think about the fact that we really are a leader, but not, and we all have an unimaginable goal of going to the promised land. And you think about that, it's like, that's daunting. Do you feel really inadequate for that? Do you feel like looking at this past year, your past life, that you are adequate for that task? If you don't, honestly, that's probably a good way to be. Because we're not adequate to do that on our own. But God is. God is more than we could ever hope or dream. It is God that tells us, even in the face of responsibility it feels like it's just too much to bear, that I'm not enough for it. He says, be strong and courageous, because I am. Joshua also had to be strong and be courageous in spite of the enemy that he faced. As Joshua was going into this land, he did not just have the people that were crossing over with him to worry about. He had a pretty strong group of nations in front of him. We read about them in Numbers chapter 13. Starting verse 27, this is when the spies go into the land and they come back and they tell about this people. The people in the land of Canaan, again, which Joshua and the people are going to try to take, and they say, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit, but nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. That's the giants. And we say, skipping down into verse 31, but the men who had gone up with them said, we are not able to go against the people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they have spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There we also saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are also part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. When I read this, it takes me back to my football days. It reminds me of Midland. I don't know. Midland High School. We'd walk out to go play them, and there were boys that were 300 feet tall and as big as a barn. And you look at that and you say, who can beat these guys? We never did, but you look at them and you say, who can beat these guys? That's what I imagine this situation being, is looking at the opponent, looking at how big they are, how strong they are, how fortified their cities are, and they're like, who can do this? The question arises, what if we fail? Well, like we looked at in the previous point, we can be worried about failing all we like. God doesn't fail. The God who is on our side will not fail, does not fail. And if you look at Joshua, the situation, the only reason that he would fail is if he just decided to quit. If he decided not to move forward with what God had given him, that was the only time that he was going to fail. We saw that with the Israelites here in Numbers 13. Can you imagine? They lost to the Canaanites for 40 years. 40 years in the wilderness, and not because the Canaanites had to lift a sword, but just because the Israelites decided we're not going to fight them. They're too strong for us. The Canaanites defeated the Israelites for this period of time, not because God was not able to achieve victory, but just because the Israelites were not willing to go forward. We may be going into this year with some pretty strong adversaries. Some of which may be fear, doubt, maybe fear and doubt of the responsibility that's been given to us, maybe fear and doubt, against Satan, against the temptation that he brings to us. Really, one of the biggest things that it's easy to be afraid of is the result of an ignorance of God. People are ignorant of God, His love for mankind, His love, His sacrifice. And because of this, they grow angry. Because God's instructions tell us that we have to change. That makes them angry to the point that they hate. They even may want to hurt us for speaking the truth. That's a scary thing. I was thinking, so Jackie Robinson, did you know that he was a veteran? Before he started going to play baseball, he was in the Army. He served for a few years, came out as a lieutenant. This man who served his nation, served for those people on the opposite teams that I'll read one of the things that they said to him. He was playing a game against the Phillies, and the opposing team shouted this: "They're waiting for you in the jungles, black boy." This is a man who served for those people. If people were willing to, for this man who served for them, to shout these hateful comments to him, to threaten him, to want to kill him, how much more would they want to do to us? Jesus, who died for people, who died for their sins, they called him, they said that he got his abilities from the prince of demons. They went to stone him and to kill him multiple times, and eventually they did. When we take on the name of Christ, that's what we take on, is a name that not a lot of people like. And that's a scary thing. It's a scary thing to be a representative of Christ in this world. And we look at the fears that we may have, we look at the doubts that we have, we look at what we perceive as the enemy. We see how big they are, how hard it would be to overcome them, and we say, who can stand against such an enemy? Well, God can. That has been what he has said through the entirety of the word that he has given us. He can. He can stand against the enemy. He can give us power. We can be strong and courageous no matter what enemy is facing us, no matter what we face, because He can. And the only time that we lose, the only time that we're going to fall short of that, is if we just decide not to, if we decide not to try, if we decide to run away, if we decide to give in to the fear. That's the only time that we lose. Even if people will take us and silence us, God still has victory. And nobody can truly silence us. Because our lives, if we have turned ourselves over to Christ, are not here in this earth, but with Him in an eternal life. Be strong. Be courageous. Lastly, Joshua had to be strong and courageous in his preparation. Here in this first chapter, you think Joshua and this group of people are about to go try to take over an enemy nation. And I would imagine that takes a lot of preparation. I would think that any nation that was going to attack another one would sit down and plan things out. you know, maybe plan out, you know, strategy points, things that need to be taken, cities that need to be seized, and battles that need to be fought, and things like that. And notice that as God is kind of giving Joshua a preparation period in this chapter, he doesn't mention any of those things. He tells them, you are going to conquer the people, you are going to take the land, but he doesn't really give them instructions on how to do that. Except he does. He gives them, you know, kind of in essence two instructions. One is to be strong and courageous, and number two, to devote. For Joshua to devote himself to God. He says in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. It's not like Joshua and the Israelites were not completely thinking about strategy. We see in the next chapter that they send spies to Jericho, but when God is giving instructions on how to conquer this land, he tells him everything that he needs to know. And it's not about different points that he needs to take or different battles that needs to be won. He tells him, you are to devote yourself to me, to the word and commandments that I have given to you, and to think about them, and to meditate on them. And if he did that, Joshua had all that he needed. He didn't have to worry about a battle. He didn't have to worry about the enemy. He didn't have to be fearful of what was to come, because he had everything that he needed. It's good to think about the enemy every once in a while, to think about the things that make us stop short, to think about the things that give us fear. Maybe there are a lot of things on your mind coming into this next year, things that are scary and fearful. You know, planning for these things is not a bad thing. Thinking about these things are not a bad thing. But sometimes we get so worried looking at the enemy and focusing on the enemy that we forget the most important thing. That is a devotion to God. In reading his word, living his word, applying his word, loving him, devoting ourselves to him. If we do these things, we don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to worry about any battles. We don't have to worry about the things that make us afraid or give us fear. That is all that we need to know. And that takes strength and courage. Such an interesting thing. Be strong and courageous, to be careful to do according to all the law. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous to meditate on my law. Be strong and courageous to know my commands. Have you ever thought that it takes strength and courage to read God's word? I mean, I say that and automatically my thought says, no, it doesn't, it's just reading. Well, I mean, if it was, then why does not everybody do it? It's because it takes strong people and courageous people to do it. Because if we read God's word, we read in it that God wants us to devote ourselves to him. That he desires our hearts, that he desires our strength, that he desires our soul and our mind. God desires all of us. And it takes a strong and a courageous person to read that and to apply it and to do it and to give themselves completely over. Be strong and courageous. Not just in your actions, not just in your going forth, but what you do to prepare for that. Which means devoting yourself to God, devoting ourselves to God, studying his word, reading his word, and meditating on it, thinking about it day and night, so that we never have to be afraid. I again just want to remind you of the titles that we've taken on. As an American, as a nation, we have taken on this title of brave. As a follower of Christ, we have taken on a title of brave. We have taken on a God that tells us, be strong and courageous. Let's do that. Let's give honor to our God in this coming year. Please take courage in the Lord your God. And if you need to join this family of Christian believers, we ask you to come forward and be baptized while we stand and as we sing.